Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus has called you. Both are true. Today we are talking about the call of our Lord to follow him, but I'd just like to say that if you read the Bible, this Bible is filled with stories of people who were blessed by God because they put their trust in him. And they weren't smarter, they weren't more skilled, they weren't better than other people, they weren't even more religious. But they had that one thing in common: they trusted in God, and God was able to use their life for his purpose, and he did incredible things through their life. The story of Abraham is one of those stories, and it's an example of faith. If we think of Abraham, he's called the father of faith. He's literally the one who shows us the example of what it means to believe in God and what it means to follow God. He was part of a family that moved from the Ur of the Chaldees, and he came up the Tigris-Euphrates River. He settled in a place called Haran. And his father was an idol worshiper, so he didn't believe in Yahweh, he didn't believe in the Lord, and he would be a person you wouldn't expect that God would come and say, I want you to follow me. But he did. Abraham didn't seek out God, but God sought out him. And when we think of the promise that God made to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to use your life for a great purpose. And Abraham believed it, and it was accredited to him for righteousness. The Bible says that when God said to him, get up and go, I want to take you to a land that I prepared for you, Abraham packed his bags, he got together his family, he grabbed the cat and grabbed the dog, and they went toward the land that God had prepared. And when you read the end of the story, Abraham was blessed. His name became famous. God said it would. And even today, his name is known by 4 billion people on earth. He is worshipped, and not worshipped, but he is recognized by the Muslims, by the Jews, and by Christians. Half the population of the world today know the name of Abraham. God promised that would be the case, that he would be famous. He's a rock star. And if you think about Abraham, he not only was made famous, but he had descendants that were created into a great nation, the nation of Israel. He was given a land, and even more than that, he was a blessing to the world because the Messiah, the Jesus Christ, came through his family. He was blessed beyond his dreams because God's grace worked in his life. And when we think of the call of God, it comes to us, and sometimes we're surprised. It comes to people who least expect it. If you look at the story of David, he was a little boy watching some sheep. If you read the story of Rahab, she was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. If you read the story of Gideon, he was a coward. He was literally cowering in the bottom of a well, and an angel comes up to him and says, man of God, courage, I'm going to make you a leader. And if you read the story of Elizabeth, she was an old woman beyond childbearing, and God said, I have a purpose for you, you're going to have a child, John the Baptist. And then if you think of Mary, just a teenager, God called her, and she was the mother of our Lord. All these people were blessed because God's grace came to them and he worked in their life and he used their life for a purpose to bless the world. And that is basically what we celebrate this morning, that God has a purpose for you and that he has a calling for you and that he's willing to work in your life to be that blessing to the world that the world needs today. When we think of the call that we have, it begins in a relationship to Christ. And that relationship to Christ comes through faith and baptism. And if you read the story of Jesus' baptism, which we had in the gospel last week, you remember when Jesus came out of the water after John the Baptist had baptized him, there was a voice that came down from out of heaven. And the father said to his son, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so God affirmed his son and he affirmed that he loved his son. And when you are baptized, God affirms that you are his child, and he affirms his love for you as a child. But he also didn't just affirm Jesus, he had a purpose for Jesus' life, and that's why he was so pleased that Jesus said he would, he didn't say it, but Jesus literally laid down his life to suffer, to die, and to be resurrected again that we might have salvation in life. And if you think of baptism, it comes the acknowledgement of God's love, but also purpose. When we think of your faith and my faith, Paul writes about baptism. He says, don't you know, and as if we forgot, you know, or we forget, he says, don't you know that when you were baptized into Jesus' death? We were therefore buried in baptism into death, that through the glory of the Father, we might have a new life. Think of it. We not only have God's love, but we have this promise of new life. We not only have forgiveness and righteousness that allows us to go to heaven and live there, but God wants us to live now here. And that's what he says, I'm going to give you a new life through the grace and mercy that I have in my love for you. And when we think of the calling of Jesus, he begins in a very unexpected place. When he begins his public ministry, it says that he began in a place called Galilee. Now, if I was a religious person, and I am, I think, but I'm a Lutheran, right? Okay. So if I'm going to start a church, and I'm a Lutheran pastor, where do I want to go? St. Louis. St. Louis is our headquarters. And that's where the Lutherans are. So if I'm going to start a church, I want to start a church where there are going to be a lot of Lutherans, right? Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm going to do. He did not start his ministry in the center of the Jewish faith, which is Jerusalem. And he didn't call those who were most religiously qualified, the scribes and the Pharisees. He called the people who were in Galilee. Now, Galilee, you have to understand what's going on here. The word Galilee is a part of Israel, which is the northern part. It's as far as away you can get from Jerusalem. And when you think of the place, it's described by the prophets as a place that people are living in darkness. Darkness. And the people are living in the shadow of death. Well, what does that mean? Well, what does that mean? It meant that there was a road there. It was a trade route. It went from Damascus down to Galilee, where Jesus had his home in Capernaum, and that route went over to the Mediterranean Sea, and that route all the way continued all the way down to Egypt. So when the Egyptian army wanted to come and take over Assyria or Babylonia, they came up that route. And where did they fight? Right there. And when the Assyrians came down that route, they came down and they fought right there. So there was warfare, there was bloodshed in this beautiful place. And there was a history of it over year and year and year and year. And so the people had their family slaughtered, they had their family transplanted to other places, and the people who lived in these other places were forced to live in Galilee. And so Galilee was called the Galilee of the Gentiles. It was a place where there was a whole diversity of backgrounds and diversity of beliefs. And so Jesus went to this place where there was brokenness and there was darkness and there was death, and he begins to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. He went to people who needed hope. And what was his message? It was the message of John the Baptist. He said, repent. The kingdom of God is near. Now, when I read the word repent, it sounds negative to me. Like, there must be something wrong with me. Maybe God doesn't love me. and I have to do something else, be something else. But that's not what the word means. To repent means to turn around. See, I'm looking at you, right? But if I turn around, who am I looking at? Jesus. And to repent means to turn around. Take a look. Look at what God's doing in your life. Look what God's doing in the world. And he invites you to be part of that, to be in a relationship with Jesus, and to let Jesus begin to use your life to be a blessing to the world, just like he did with Abraham and the saints in the past. And when I think of the word repent, Jesus puts this in a way maybe that's more understandable. He said, come to me. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, he said, but my burden is light. So when Jesus is asking us to repent, he's saying, turn around, look, God is near. Jesus is there for you. Won't you see that he is there in your life? And when I think of the call that we have of Jesus to the disciples, the first call we have is through baptism. We are called into relationship with Christ. But the call is more than putting on forgiveness so we can go to heaven and we can go and live there. The call is always to be with God now and to live our life with him now, to share our life with him so that God can work through our life now to be a blessing to others. And when he walks along the Sea of Galilee, we have this strange thing that Jesus is walking along and there's some fishermen, you know, and he goes up, hey, follow me. Oh, yes, I want to do that. So they drop their nets. They leave their father, leave their families. Do you think that's the way it was? I don't think it happened quite that way. Something happened before that. And if you hear the gospel from last week, it was John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been called to prepare the way for the Lord. And what he did was he not only baptized people, but he made disciples. And some of those disciples were Andrew, Peter, James, and John. And if you read the Gospel of John, it says that Andrew comes up to Peter after he's with John the Baptist and he heard John point out Jesus to be the Lamb of God, the Messiah of the world. He comes up to Peter and says, hey, I found the Messiah. And so Peter goes and he follows Jesus with Andrew and James and John. They knew Jesus was the Messiah. So when Jesus comes up to them, they know him. They know him. And now he says to them, follow me. Well, he's not saying, hey, do you know who I am? They already know who he is. What Jesus is saying, I want you to be with me so that you can really understand the power of God, the love that God has for you, and to begin to see God working in your life. Listen to what I have to say. Be with me and watch what I do. Experience what God is doing in my life so that you can begin to see how God is there for you. And so he invites them to a deeper relationship. And that is the invitation that we celebrate that God is offering to all of us this morning, a deeper relationship. Not to just know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, but to be filled with the presence of God, the love of God, so that our life is transformed. If your heart is filled with love, you're going to love. And if you are filled with the sense of purpose, then you're going to live it out and you're going to have joy in your life. And you're going to be a blessing to others. In our Savior's Way, we have a mission statement. And mission statements are probably the most boring things in the world. but it does have a meaning. it goes like this. He says, at Our Savior's Way, we glorify God and we make disciples by first forming relationships. Second, by experiencing Jesus together. And the third is by sharing God's love. Three things. These three things represent the call that God gives to us. To form a relationship with Jesus Christ, in which we can be transformed by his love, and when we're empowered by the love of God, then we want to share it with others. If you are going to follow Jesus, those are the three things that are essential to the call. To believe in him, to be empowered by him, and to share him with others. And so that's our mission here at Our Savior's Way. And I invite you this morning to take a step to deepen your faith, to be in a small group or Bible study, join the praise team, be in the choir, do something, go on a mission trip, but do something, make a decision that I am going to grow in my faith. I don't know about you, but when I look at the world, I wish it could be different. I worry about everything that's going on. Do you? It's upsetting. And Jesus is saying, do you want to turn the world upside down? Follow me. He says, I will turn the world upside down. He says, I will make you fishers of men. You don't have to worry about how it's going to be done. He says, I will make it happen. I will make sure that it begins to happen. And when we begin to think of what it means to follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that we're going to turn the world upside down. God is going to turn the world upside down, but he's going to use us as a vessel of that grace to bless people. And that's the invitation. God, can you use me? Yes. Yes. Come here. Come unto me. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. So that's the call that we celebrate this morning, that we're all involved, we're all called, and we're all loved by God. But there's a lot of people don't know that God cares, and we have a message to share. Amen.